listening to the Lighthouse London podcast, a series of shows giving tips and advice for startup founders, product managers, and people navigating the ins and outs of the web.
Welcome to the Lighthouse London podcast. It's Dan here.
And Russell.
Today, we're going to talk about prototyping, one of our favourite subjects, talks about it a lot.
Absolutely.
Two of the great prototypers in the company.
I thought you were going to say in the country.
Great podcasters, great prototypers.
Yeah.
That's what my LinkedIn says anyway.
Good combination.
But yeah, today I think quite specifically, I personally, not being a designer, have an interest in how people get to design, like what their thought process was when they're going through it. Mm. And I suppose one thing I've noticed as we do more prototypes is that actually it's a bit different to designing something that's kind of going to go out the door as a finished product.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
What is the difference there? Like, what are you thinking about when you're prototyping that you're not thinking about in sort of production work?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that people get caught up on when it comes to us making prototypes for them is how it's going to look. And the exercise of designing a prototype is not the same as like a branding exercise or you know, what does our company look like in this context, being a website or something like that. It's much more about we're testing an idea and we're validating ideas. And to do so, you'd be wasting time to try and make the most beautiful looking prototype in the world, because the question you're trying to answer should never be, and probably isn't, you know, will people buy the most beautiful X, right?
Yeah.
That's never the thing that you're trying to solve, right? If it was, then that would be how you'd build the prototype, but it's not. So the question then is, what solution are we solving? And if it's like, does this solve someone's problem? Then you should be designing something that's good enough to get to the answer to that question.
So I suppose it's that the outcome of a prototyping project is, well, it's learning.
Yes, it's the reaction from the person who you're testing it with, as opposed to like the prototype as the deliverable, isn't it?
The prototype doesn't have to succeed as a business.
Mm.
In fact, it doesn't need to succeed at all, because you learn equally as much
Precisely.
From the things that don't work.
Yeah,
so okay, so you're sort of designing with a completely different intent.
Mm.
It's designed to elicit feedback, not to elicit wows.
Exactly. Sometimes, in fact, quite a lot of the time people come to us to do one of our prototype sprints in particular, but you know, anywhere else, it might be the first time that you've had that company designing anything for you. So you might be immediately treating it as like a, you know, is our logo fitting in right? Are these our colours right? Which isn't the right, you know, direction to be going in.
Yeah, it's an awful first impression,
isn't
it?
Yeah, exactly.
I hadn't thought of that.
But you know, I've actually been thinking recently about whether it would be a good idea if we treated our prototypes as a completely different brand. So we just said like, this is just a totally other company. So it takes, you know, the customer's opinion away from, oh, is that right for, you know, my company X? Just thinking about it as like another example. Because at this point, the company name doesn't matter either. That's not what you're testing either.
You're right. It's something I think because we've done it a fair bit, you know, we'd be lying if we said we came into prototyping with this opinion. You know, this is something we've learned as we've gone along, that the aesthetic and the need to be pleased with how it looks is just not as important as you think it is.
No.
In fact, you know, we've spoken about this before. I think that being in love with your prototype, or loving how it looks, or making it look great, can sometimes have a detrimental effect on it, because other than the specific example that you pointed out where you're finding out if something looks great.
Yeah.
Generally, you don't want to learn if something looks great. You want to learn if it's useful, if people would buy it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a good idea to learn, should you buy something even though it doesn't look great?
Yes.
That's a great piece of feedback.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I'll buy this even though it looks average.
Mm-hmm.
And the other reason you shouldn't be in love with it is because you're going to have to change it.
Mm-hmm.
It might not work.
And
that love will be resistance to that necessary change.
Yeah.
And gosh, we've seen some people go through that.
No, you're right. Yeah, pride would get in the way of that cycle that we're trying to get people through, right? Which is like iterating a lot, making the changes that you need to, and you make those changes based on your learning.
So how do you squash your pride when you're designing a prototype?
Well, I mean, you know, when we first started doing prototypes, that was one of the difficult things for me as a designer, to step back from it as a design exercise and just concentrate on, you know, questions that we're posing with it. And you know, sometimes some of our early ones, we made mistakes on spending too much time making it look like a beautiful prototype. Part of that direction can misdirect users essentially, and like give them an impression that isn't right for what you're looking for.
Is there a time where you use the kind of how nice it looks as a tool in itself? You know, in some circumstances, it's a good idea if people believe it to be real and finished.
Yes, and ready, right? That kind of seems like the thing, right?
Yeah, so depends what sort of feedback you want. I always feel like if you're introducing a new, like, offering, like a new product to the market, it's a good idea if people think it exists.
Yes.
Rather than just being a result of a few hours prototyping. Mm-hmm. But then it's not necessary to do that, maybe if you're introducing just like some new features or something too. We've definitely done prototypes before where it was for people that used very like old-fashioned systems to organize. I think, you know, what was one we did? Like a way that people manage projects or something. And, you know, what you're tackling is something that already looks awful. And if you just show someone a slightly clearer user interface to do it, they don't care that it's virtually a wireframe. Mm-hmm. They get it.
Yeah.
I suppose when you're designing, is it about finding, like, using that level of fidelity as, like, a tool?
I think it comes back to the question you're asking. If you're trying to find out whether someone is ready to, say for example, your prototype, you walk someone through a sign up process and then at the end you can sign up or book or something like that.
Yeah.
If you're trying to work out whether someone's reaction is also, oh great, I can sign up right now, then you need the readiness thing, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, personally, I find that you get different feedback from something that is obviously incomplete and stuff. I mean, for some of the side projects I've been doing recently, showing the earliest ugly versions to people does get different feedback out of them because they feel like they're not about to step on your pride about certain things as well. So there's definitely some complexities in there. But you know, some of that it's probably worth mentioning about when you're testing your prototype, if you're doing it in person, you can attach your like narrative to that, your storyboard, you're showing someone through the process. And part of that, you know, can describe the state of the prototype and like, is this our service that we've launched and you can become a customer right now? All that kind of stuff is...
Completely.
Is open to you.
And you also, with the way you describe, you sort of want the design and the way you describe things to play off each other. You know, I'm sort of thinking of times where, you know, it's literally just been a case of sticking a button on or something that says add or more, and you let it means the person can think, I don't know what this button does, I'm going to imagine what it does.
And then
they tell you what that is.
So for example, I have a listings page, and one of the options to do on that listings page at the top is to filter it. And you can use that as a question without, you know, you're not stood saying, you know, I now press filters and it does this. You'll prompt the question like, what would you be filtering by, or that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because then when the person sitting next to you tells you what filters they want, they've just filled in a design that you haven't had to think about just by hinting, you know, an action you could take.
It's like you're designing a load of just stubbed out ideas, and then the idea is you let the people fill them in themselves.
Yeah.
Which is, I suppose, is that's a, you know, knowing which of those ideas to put in there and how to put them in.
Yeah.
It just feels quite, you know, I think probably when we started doing prototypes, they just looked like finished products. And we probably spent time going, oh, what's this do? What does that do? And why, you know.
How's that going to function as well? That's something really easy to get caught up in. And it's you catch yourself doing it anyway because it's something that we're so used to doing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, that would work like this and it would talk to that, all that kind of stuff. Just letting like just the hint of the idea there and getting people's ideas on that.
And is that liberating?
Is it liberating? What, to not have to think about?
To not have to think solutions. About how a feature might work. Just stick it on there.
I think
run algorithm to increase share price.
What is most popular, you know? Is it likes, is it views? I'm just not sure. Don't worry about it. Just say it's most popular and ask people what that means.
Yeah, exactly. It's realizing that you can let go of some of that stuff. I think the shrouding it in a different company name is a really interesting idea because you're right. Most of the people's resistance to putting out a prototype which doesn't have all these things sorted out is that they just are scared of being told that people will think they're rubbish.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think that's actually, they're scared of someone telling them that the idea won't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are resistant to putting out something which might get negative feedback.
Yes.
Even though negative feedback is valid feedback.
Yeah,
because
they'll think, oh, well, so the first review I've had for my company, the first thing I've shown is bad. Is that sort of like my reputation now that I have bad things to show people or it's not worth it sort of thing?
So I'm imagining that at the beginning of any prototyping, we get out some like business cards.
Yeah.
That just have a different company on them.
Yeah.
Maybe we've put the name of the person that's come to do it and been like, you work for this company. For the next 2 days, this prototyping session,
why not?
You work for this company.
I quite like that.
That would be good.
It might be good for clients to step outside of... I mean, if you're coming to us having spent a year, several years, you know, a lot of intense time thinking about what I am, what this business is, and tying yourself closer to it, maybe that bit of separation will help.
You can't bear the idea of putting something in front of people isn't perfect. Yeah, completely.
Bam.
Completely. Fantastic. We've generated true value right there. Look out for that one if you come and do some prototyping with us. We are going to rebrand you however we want. Yeah, exactly. For your own good.
Also, your name has to change.
Yeah, we might change your name a bit. It's a false name. False company, and then you're ready to go out.
Moustache,
yeah, exactly. Like, doesn't Beyonce have a stage persona called something like Veronica Fierce or something like that?
Does she?
Yes.
What, as if she needs another
person? No, it's her because she in herself is not as confident as stage Beyonce.
Oh, okay, right. She doesn't tell people to call her Veronica Fierce. She just acts as Veronica Fierce.
Yes, but she named one of her albums it.
When did you finish reading Beyoncé's autobiography? How was it? Was it good?
I'm a big fan of
the B.
I believe. Or maybe that's what Jay-Z calls it.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I'm all up in Heat magazine and all of those telephoto lens kind of scene. Big up paparazzi. Yeah, love those guys. Great content. Keep providing the great content.
Quality.
I think we touched quite nicely on the issues there. I feel like I've learned that by doing prototyping, we've potentially made you a worse designer. One more freer to make rubbish decisions.
Sorry, guys, but that's not the point of this exercise. I will not be putting in 100% design thinking.
Absolutely, and yeah, it's, I suppose it's just making sure that... you're right that people understand that that when it comes to actually, you know, production level product, those issues are not let go by the wayside. But the prototyping, although it looks like the same thing, is a very different outcome.
Absolutely, yeah.
Cool.
Great.
If you want to know more about prototyping, I suggest you nip back to a lot of good content in our prototyping month. There you'll find some great stuff around the stuff we do, some chat about the stuff the industry does, and yeah, it's the way to go if you want to start testing an idea. In the meantime, do get at us on the tweets, the @WeAreLighthouse on the Twitter, on Facebook, or if you're particularly exciting, on that LinkedIn. Get some of that going.
Excellent.
That's where me and Beyonce know each other. Do you want to connect? I endorse you for blazing hip hop and R&B. That was her endorsing me.
Yeah, I
haven't endorsed her yet. I need to respond to that. Give her a recommendation. Cool. I've been Dan.
I've been Russell.
And we'll catch you next time.
Cheers.
If you want to listen to more great podcasts, read awesome content, or learn a bit more about Lighthouse London, then head over to wearelighthouse.com. For entrepreneurs who need a hand getting an exciting new business idea off the ground, or people who want some help solving complex problems online, drop us an email at hello@wearelighthouse.com or find us on Twitter using @wearelighthouse. If you like what you've heard, then subscribe to get all the latest insights the day they're released. All details are on the website, or search and rate on iTunes.